Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Ke'echodesh ta'al, chodesh tov. Today's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Halavai, we should be zochet to usher in a time period of binyan this Tammuz, as opposed to a period of churban. Halavai, we should be zochet to see the gezeira that the Meraglim ra in last week's parasha. Atem b'chisim b'chia shachinim, ani kovei lechem b'chia ledoros. Atisha kala eda ve'inu es kolam ve'yivku am balayla ha'hu. That night was Tisha B'Av, and Tammuz is the month of Bein HaMitzarim. Shivasar b'Tammuz Rachmana Litzlan, the spy spoke Lashon Hara, about Eretz Yisrael, and here we are today. So halvai, we should be zocha through our efforts in this class to rectify, to repair the sins that lead to galus. Halvai, we should be zocha to see the binyan by Yishlishi, and the restoration of our people to our land with ultimate peace. This class is dedicated as an Aliyah Neshama for Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoel V'Chana Alav HaShalom. May his Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of our learning. Also with Alyssa's permission, Schos Besoros Tovus and Refuos for Bracha V'Gaya Bas Rachel Gita. Besoch Sh'ar Chalei Yisrael, let us begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Ribono shel Olam, Yiratzu Mefanecha. Harachem v'chanim shetezakeni ha'im v'cholim l'shmar piu l'shanim b'lashon hara v'chilas as a harem l'daber afilu alish yachid v'kol shekena klaisa o achelak mehem v'kol shekena l'hisraim amidosef shel kosh baruchu as a harem l'daber divrei sheker chanufa mecholkes kaas gaiva onas dvarim habanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni shelo l'daber kim daber hatzarich v'inyani gufi v'nafshi v'yu kama sai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amen v'amen. So we are trying to get through. Last time we had a class on Zechiras Miriam, okay? Very, very relevant class. I believe it was very relevant not only to the parasha, but to our lives and everything that we live with every single day. Before that, we're spending some time in Maseches Erechin, trying to go through the Black Gemara that deal with, in depth, the sin of Lashon Hara. We will be continuing with that today. However, interestingly, I was at my brother's house on Shabbos afternoon, and it was quiet, so my son is actually using my chumash that I brought along, and my husband was reading the mishpacha that I had brought along, so I was left just sitting, so I looked at my brother's bookcase, and I have this book at home. We have quoted it from it before, Alyssa. It's from Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who's one of the Rosh Yeshivas at YU. It's called False Facts and True Rumors, Lashon Hara and Contemporary Culture. So I picked it up, and it's very interesting. I was looking in the index in the front, and would you believe it, that the epilogue is called Remembering Miriam, Zechiras Miriam. Now, if you recall, our class last time was dedicated to the topic of Miriam's Lashon Hara, Ameni Inanim, and lessons surrounding that Lashon Hara that she spoke. So the epilogue is called Remembering Miriam. So I picked it up, I started to look through it, and then in preparation for this class, I went back and I reread it, and I'm just going to share some excerpts with you that I think are very relevant to our learning, not so much as a PS to last time's class, but more as an introduction to today's class and a general importance of what we are doing, which is studying Shmiras HaLashon together. So if you could look, if you do not have time yet, if you didn't check the WhatsApp chat, Shmiras HaLashon class this morning, I took a picture and I posted two paragraphs for you that I would like to go through with you. Okay, so two paragraphs. Well, I am quoting from the epilogue of the book, False Facts and True Rumors. The chapter is called Remembering Miriam. The author is Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. Here we go. It is here. I did it. A number of pages, this chapter, more lengthy than the excerpts that I will be quoting. I just want to quote a couple of important paragraphs. So please look at your handout that I posted. It is here that the unique risks inherent in speaking Lashon Hara are in evidence. He begins by mentioning Miriam's sin, and he begins by mentioning the command to remember what Miriam did. Okay. It is here that the unique risks inherent in speaking Lashon Hara are in evidence and justify the exceptional focus afforded by additional commandments and cautionary tales. He begins by saying that we have to remember Miriam. There's a whole command just to remember what she did. And the singling out of the prohibition of this type of Lashon Hara begs an explanation. He says we have to understand why she was singled out to remember the sin of Lashon Hara. And we come to realize that there are unique risks inherent in speaking Lashon Hara. They are in evidence and justify the exceptional focus. There's exceptional focus in the Torah afforded by additional commandments and cautionary tales. Lashon Hara, this is so important. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me, is not a transgression you can avoid by simply deciding to refrain from committing the transgression. So you can't just say, you know, I'm not going to light the fire on Shabbos. I'm not going to light the fire on Shabbos. You make a conscious decision and you decide to refrain from committing the transgression. It's not so with Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara, says Rabbi Feldman, is an expression of a mindset. Sometimes an active negativity. Lashon Hara stems from active negativity. Lashon Hara stems from distortion of judgment. And sometimes Lashon Hara stems from a simple insensitivity and lack of appreciation for others. So it's not enough to say, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara, because your mindset is what yields or births the negative or poisonous speech. Because Lashon Hara results from negativity and distortion of judgment. It may result from simple insensitivity, and it may result from lack of appreciation. I'll share with you a beautiful var that my son shared last week. He had a class get together at what's known as the W Shul. So Rabbi Stern, I think, is a rabbi there, if my understanding is correct. And Rabbi Stern has a son in my son's class. So Rabbi Stern spoke to the boys. They had a chabur together with Rabbi outdoors. So he told a Dvar Torah relevant to Parsha Shlach, but very relevant to what Rabbi Feldman writes here. Okay, the spies came back and they were punished with 40 years of desert wandering because they scouted the land for 40 days. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal asks, so why weren't they punished for the words of Lashon Hara that they spoke? In fact, we have learned together, Dr. Chavetz Chaim says, you will be accountable for every word, not you, I will be accountable for every word of Lashon Hara that I spoke. Rabbi Stern said, like Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, that we see by Paro, when Yaakov Avinu at the end of Sefer Bereishis comes down, and Paro says, how old are you? And he says, oh yeah, I had such a bad life. Yemei shnei migurai raim lo higati limei avosa. I had such a bad life, says Yaakov. Hashem deducted the number of years that Yaakov Avinu spoke negative to Paro about his life from his life. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, so why count how many negative words the spies said, and that is how long they should be in the desert. Why punish them for the days that they toured Eretz Yisrael, that they scouted out Eretz Yisrael? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz answers exactly what we just read about Daniel Feldman. The Lashon Hara is only a product of warped thinking on a negative outlook. The whole time they were walking around Eretz Yisrael, there was something wrong with their mind frame. The whole time they were walking around, they were seeing the negative and thinking the negative. The Lashon Hara is only the end result of their original sin. Their original sin is thinking bad and seeing bad, and therefore they were punished for the days that they scouted out the lamb, not the words that they spoke, because the words they spoke is but a reflection of a mind frame. And that's what Rabbi Feldman writes here. Lashon Hara is an expression of a mindset. Excuse me, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line in the first paragraph. Sometimes an active negativity and distortion of judgment. Sometimes a simple insensitivity and lack of appreciation. Lashon Hara may emerge from insufficient awareness of the unique nature of other individuals. I think I'm unique, but they're not unique. I'm not sufficiently aware of the beauty, the gem in his neshama, of their particular sensitivities and frailties. So I may speak Lashon Hara because I am not sensitive to their sensitivities and frailties. I may speak Lashon Hara because I'm not aware of the impact of speech and the differences between the speaker and the listener. Or it may be because of cognitive biases and tendencies cognitive biases and tendencies that transform our words into weapons by the time they have reached their target. All of these risks, and I think this is very appropriate for always, but also a very appropriate way to usher in Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, because we just had Parsha Shlach, and that was the first Tisha B'Av. And here we're coming up to Shivasar Batamas. May Hashem save us. Perhaps we won't have to mourn this year. I don't know, but perhaps we will. Yeshua Hashem Karefayim. But it's worthy for us, as we tie this into the Cheder Meraglim by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, to understand what Rabbi Feldman is saying here, that we need to change our whole mind frame, the way we look at other people. You can't just say, I'm not lighting the fire in Shabbos, so I'm not going to strike the match. Here you have to change your mind frame and the way you view others. You have to change your sensitivities. You have to appreciate the impact of speech. We have to remove cognitive biases. We have to realize that our words are weapons. All of these risks. Oh, I forgot to unlock the call.
The meeting has been unlocked.
Okay. All of these risks are not offset by a simple commitment. It's not enough to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to eat donuts anymore. You realize that they're fried and trans fat and whatever they have in them. I'm not going to eat donuts. That's a simple commitment. Yeah, you might be challenged when it comes to Hanukkah, but it's a simple commitment. But with Lashon Hara, no. Avoiding the transgression of Lashon Hara requires forethought, internal reconditioning, training, and practice. And that's really, I believe, what we are trying to do in this very important chabura. Avoiding the transgression requires forethought. Internally, you have to recondition yourself inside, training and practice. There can be no greater reminder than the story of Miriam, a great woman of towering stature, with the best and purest of intentions, like we saw last week in the Ramban. Miriam, 2 weeks ago, Miriam found herself inadvertently in violation of the prohibition of Lashon Hara. Surely, the rest of us are no better equipped than she was to avoid this transgression. What hope then is there for us? Our only advantage is the benefit of the story of Miriam and all the Torah literature that surrounds it. A cautionary message that this area of human interaction requires remembrance. What does it mean to remember? In the sense of extensive, advanced preparation, which is really what Alyssa and Mr. Axelrod are doing for all of us in facilitating this shiur and supporting this shiur in promoting this shiur. We need extensive, advanced preparation. We need forethought. We need internal reconditioning. We need to retrain and practice ourselves. It doesn't just happen overnight. I'm not going to eat donuts. So you can really realize what donuts are made of and say, I'm not going to eat them anymore. That's not so with Lashon Hara. I'm going to quote a couple of more paragraphs from this Sefer, just three more paragraphs. It's a number of pages long. I chose what to share with you. I did not give you the photocopy, just the first one I gave you the picture of. Continues Rabbi Feldman a few pages later. It is noteworthy that according to one interpretation in the Midrash of the commandment to remember Miriam, how it is to be implemented, Alyssa, listen carefully, is that it constitutes an imperative to study the relevant laws of Lashon Hara. Let me say that again. One interpretation of the Midrash, she's quoting the Sifra, to Vayikra 26:3, that's actually in, interestingly, Bichukosai. Vayikra 26 is Bichukosai and the Kalos. It is noteworthy that one interpretation in the Medrash of the commandment to remember Miriam and how it is to be implemented practically is that it constitutes an imperative to study the relevant laws of Lashon Hara. While the notion of study is a form of remembrance, is a recurring theme in the Torah, in this instance, it seems to have particular significance. The Gemara identifies Torah study as the only true corrective to Lashon Hara. By the way, we're going to see that in Maseches Erechin. I hope we're going to get there today, but I also, I've been re-preparing the same topic in Maseches Erechin until we get through it, and you will see that the Gemara, even though he doesn't quote it here, that's where you're going to see. The Gemara in Erechin identifies Torah study as the only true corrective to Lashon Hara. Rather, furthermore, the intent is to recognize Lashon Hara can be addressed on a behavioral level, meaning how we behave, how we speak, how we act, and an attitudinal level. Our attitude must be changed. To be successful, one must work to understand and internalize the principles involved in the prohibition of Lashon Hara. We have to work. We have to understand. We have to internalize the principles involved in the prohibition of Lashon Hara. There were and are Torah scholars who nonetheless, he writes, stumble in the areas of Lashon Hara, despite their great learning. This phenomenon is addressed by some prominent authorities, he says, who gave haskamos to the Chafetz Chaim. Those Torah authorities assert it is not general Torah study that is effective, but specifically the focus on the Torah related to Lashon Hara, the laws related to its underlying principles and concepts, coupled with personal commitment that can bring about the shift in the personality that is required. So I think that this statement really accurately describes this class. So we, Baruch Hashem, have been learning for a number of years together, and I still stumble, and I still fail, and I still make mistakes, and I still say why they said that, but there's a greater heightened awareness and a deep level of charata the times that we do stumble, and working on ourselves. So Rabbi Feldman writes here, that in order to recognize Lashon Hara, it must be addressed on a behavioral level, but also on an attitudinal level. Our attitudes must change. We must work to understand and internalize the principles involved in the prohibition. And it is not just when the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin that Torah study keeps you away from Lashon Hara. Great authorities assert it's not general Torah study that's effective for keeping us away from Lashon Hara. It is specifically the focus on the halachos of Lashon Hara, the underlying principles, the concepts, coupled with personal commitment, which I believe all of us who are part of this chabura, whether you call in, whether it's live, and we're zochah to be actually live at Alyssa's house, whether it's those who listen on YU Torah, the reason we're listening to this is because we're trying to focus on specifically the Torah related to Lashon Hara, the underlying principles, the concepts, so we can personally commit to that shift in our personality that is required. Two more paragraphs. This one is very interesting. In Birkas HaShachar every morning, okay, you daven every morning, and in Birkas HaShachar we say, La'asot b'divrei Torah, ha'malamei Torah la'amei so'an no sein hatar. You make three brachos on Birkas HaShachar every morning, and right after you make those brachos on Birkas HaTorah, you say, Yivarach HaShem v'yishmerecha, from Parshas Knaso, end of Perek Vav. It is the Birkas Kohanim. So for those who are not aware of this, the reason why you say the Birkas Kohanim passage right after the brachos on Torah, Knasok b'divrei Torah, malamei Torah la'amei yishav, no sanitars, because now that you made the bracha on Torah, then you have to learn some Torah. You have to learn some Torah as soon as you make the bracha on Torah learning, just like you make the bracha on lulav and esrog, okay? On the lulav, so you have to shake the lulav and esrog right away. This morning we made the bracha lekro es ha-halal, so you can't come back in an hour and say halal. You made the bracha, you have to say halal. You make a ha-eat, you got to eat the apple. You make a bracha on Torah learning, so you have to learn Torah, which is why we have Yivarech Hashem, that is Torah Shab Bechtav. Then you have two different chapters dealing with Elu Devarim. The first one is Mishnayis, the second one is Gemara. So what we have done is right after we make the three Berkas HaTorahs, we learn three passages from Torah. Torah Shebichtav, Yivarech Hashem Vishmecha, Parshas Naso, Perek Vav Bamidbar, Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnah, Torah Shebaal Peh, Gemara, to discharge your obligation to learn Torah once you made the bracha. But listen to this. In his work, going back to Rabbi Feldman, in his work of responsa, the great 16th century rabbinic authority, Rav Shlomo Luria, known as the Maharshal, describes his daily ritual. He notes that every day, immediately after reciting the blessing on learning Torah, he would study a representative selection of passages of Torah content. So that's what I just explained to you. You say, La'asok b'divrei Torah, malam me Torah, no sin etar. And then you say, Yivarecha. What you're really doing is not giving the Birkas Kohanim. You're studying a passage of Torah. So what would Rav Shlomo Luria study every day immediately after reciting Birkas HaTorah? He would not say, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmecha. He chose something else to learn Torah Shebichtav. Ready? He recited the passage of three consecutive verses, which he considered shakul or keneged kol ha-Torah kulo. He considered the passages he would recite equal to the entire Torah. So what did Rav Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal, choose to recite after Birkas HaShachar? Which three passages, which are equal to kol ha-Torah kulo, beginning with the peddler verse in Parshas Kedoshim and ending with Vahapta l're'acha kamocha? Here we go. Which three passages would he recite? Lo seileich rachil ba'amecha. This is pasuk one. Lo samar al darmeacha ani Hashem. You should not be a gossip monger amongst your nation. You should not stand idly by while your brother's blood is being shed. I am God. That's parik yud tes of vayirka. Pasuk tazayin. Passage number one begins with lo seileich rachil ba'amecha. Don't be a gossip monger. Don't stand over your brother's blood. I am God. Verse two. Lo tisna esachicha bilvavecha. Do not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your fellow. You shall not bear sin because of him. And the third verse, do not bear a grudge, do not take revenge, not in that order, do not take revenge, do not bear a grudge against your fellow. You shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. I am God. So the Maharshal felt that if you want to know what encapsulates kol Torah kula and what you have to say after you recite the Birkas HaTorah to immediately discharge your obligation that you have learned Torah, begin with the passage of Lo Seileich Rechil Bamecha, do not be a gossip monger amongst your people, and end with Va'ahavta L'Re'acha kamocha, you shall love for your fellow. That, he said, is kol Torah kulo. And this deals with, very interestingly, both, this passage deals with the action, lo seleich achil b'mecha, do not be a gossip anger, but also deals with our intention, our kavana, our thinking, lo tisnes achichel b'vavecha, don't hate your brother in your heart. If you hate your brother in your heart, you're going to end up speaking lashon hara. If you don't hate your brother in your heart, you won't speak lashon hara. V'ahavta l'rei acha kamocha, according to Rav Shlomo Luria, and I'm not passing any halacha, I'm not telling anyone to change the structure of how we daven, but I found this fascinating that instead of saying the Yivarachacha, he would say for the study of Torah Shebiktav, those three psukim from Sefer Vayikra that begin with Lo Seleich Rachil Ba'amecha, Lo Sama, Lo Dam Re'echa, Lo Sikam, Lo Sitor, Lo Tisa Sechicha B'Vavecha, and ends with Ba'ahavta, Re'acha, Kamocha, and Alyssa. You will appreciate this final paragraph that I'm going to read to you. The focus that has emerged in recent years on the study of the laws of Lashon Hara is a profound gift. I don't think you could have a better outcome for your efforts for this class, for what we have been learning and studying, and Baruch Hashem been teaching others together, than this has come. The focus that has emerged, says Rabbi Feldman, in recent years on the study of the laws of Lashon Hara is a profound gift. Because a life devoted to understanding and refining commitment to these principles, when you choose to live by devoting yourself to understanding and refining your commitment to these principles, is a life of ever-expanding sensitivity. You are living a life of ever-growing awareness, of ever-increasing appreciation for the complexity of humanity. There's a constant attention to the most fundamental needs of others. When we are more aware of the laws of Lashon Hara, of the Hashkafa of Lashon Hara, of the need to change our mind frame, the focus on this in recent years is a profound gift. We are committing ourselves to living a life devoted to refining commitment to these principles, an ever-growing awareness of ever-increasing appreciation for the complexity of humanity. If I appreciate other people like I appreciate myself, I don't talk badly. It is a constant attention to the most fundamental needs of others and all of their diversity and nuance. It is a lifelong course in the finest points of interpersonal interaction. When we choose to commit ourselves to learn this, and it's not such a popular topic, it's interesting. It's not a popular topic because people don't like to hear it, because it's hard to work on, because I have better things to do. I'd rather learn Hilchos Shabbos. By the way, you should learn Hilchos Shabbos. I should learn Hilchos Shabbos. But I'd rather do that than do this. But no, we must say this is a lifelong course in the finest points of interpersonal interaction. We must change our mindset, he writes. We must force the trivialities of life to recede and to fade. We must direct our attention towards the genuine priorities in life. We must recognize the endless capacity. And this gives me hope, because as strive as we might, sometimes I find I still said the wrong thing, and I didn't mean to say the wrong thing. I don't want to say the right thing. How did that just come out of my mouth? Aren't I teaching a class? Don't I know better? But we have to remind ourselves that, says Rabbi Feldman, we have an endless capacity to grow, to improve. We have an endless capacity to transcend a history of mistakes or misjudgments. We can never give up. We can change the gezeira of the Meraglim. We do not have to usher in Bein HaMitzarim, beginning with Shivas Arba Tammuz and ending with the climax of Tisha B'Av, Churban Beis HaMikdash and Chedem Meraglim. We must recognize that we have the endless capacity for growth. We have an endless capacity to improve. We can. This is chizuk for all of us. It's chizuk for me. It might be chizuk for you too. Rabbi Feldman's not only talking to me in this sefer. We must transcend a history. No. We can transcend a history of mistakes or misjudgments. Studying the laws of Lashon Hara and the topics surrounding Lashon Hara is an affirmation that human beings must not be painted by the brush of their worst moments. I am not defined by the brush strokes of my worst moments. Because the full picture of an individual will always be so much more than can be grasped in a moment. One more sentence. It is therefore, in essence, the studying of these topics is to derive infinite potential through perceiving the infinite potential in others. I'm going to repeat that last sentence. In essence, it is to derive infinite potential. He means we have infinite potential, even if I messed up. Even if I teach this class and I said it was something that I didn't want to say, or it was questionable, or I'm not sure, or I stumbled, or I failed, or how could I have done that? To focus on these laws is a profound gift, he says. And in summation, it is in essence to derive infinite potential for ourselves. We should not be painted by the brush of our worst moments. We have to know, we have to recognize the koach within ourselves. I hope it's chizik for you, it's tremendous chizik for me. That even if you messed up, we have endless capacity to grow. We have endless capacity to improve. And we, quote, have endless capacity to transcend a history of mistakes or misjudgments. And therefore, it is in essence to derive infinite potential through perceiving the infinite potential in others. What a beautiful last line. How ultimately will we change? How ultimately will we guard our tongue? It's a hashkafa. Before, he says, you come to learning the laws, you have to change your hashkafa. You could learn the laws of Bishop, of Eish, B'Shabbos, and I could learn that I can't strike a match, and I can't be maver, and I can't take the Shabbos candle once it's lit, and go to the gas on the fire, and like this. You could learn the halacha. But when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's not enough, he says, to make a logical commitment to learn the halachos. That will not change you. I'm talking to myself. It's not enough. You have to change your whole mind frame. You have to change your whole hashkafa. You have to change your whole outlook, the way you see other people. If I view poisonously, then I will be punished for those 40 days as Rechaim Shmulevitz. The words are the outcome of the negative mind frame. So the words are only the end result. Think of a tree with the roots and then branches or leaves sprouting from those roots. The real koach of the tree is the roots. V'haya ke'eishasu al pagei mayim, asher priyo yitim ve'ito, v'alei lo yibol, v'chal sher yasu etzliach. A tree who gives fruit, whose leaves do not wither, is healthy because its roots are healthy. We just read in Pirkei Avos, this Parsha Avos. If the roots are not healthy, the tree is worthless. It could look beautiful. It's going to topple over in the wind. We just read in Pirkei Avos. So it's not enough to learn the branches. Remember Miriam. Change your mind frame. That's what it means. Rasha'im halalu ra'u velo lachu musar. It's and he talks about the connection between Miriam and the Raglan, by the way, in this essay, in this epilogue as well. We can derive infinite potential for ourselves only if we perceive the infinite potential in others. If you want to be successful, says Rabbi Feldman, in learning how to control your tongue, and not you, me, I want to be successful, then I must perceive the infinite potential in others. Oh, it's so beautiful. Which will lead to the recognition of the infinite potential in myself. And always remember, it's Tammuz tomorrow. Rosh Chodesh, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. We are not painted by the brush of our worst moments. As bad as I feel, as many mistakes as I made, as much as sometimes you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's so hard to be a human being. Do you ever say that to God? Sometimes I say that to God. It's so hard to be a person. We have so many challenges and we make mistakes. That's not really who you are. Because we have endless capacity for growth, for improvement, to transcend the history of those mistakes or misjudgments. But specifically in Lashon Hara, the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin, which we're going to go to right now. Okay, we're not going to go to the Gemara. That to refrain from Lashon Hara, the Gemara says you have to learn Torah. But the approbations to the Chafetz Chaim, Torah authorities teach us that it's not stam Torah learning. Of course a person should learn Torah. A man has a mitzvah. Kovei yitim Torah. One of the questions, Shabbos Lamed Aleph Av, that we will be asked in the Olam HaEmes, is kavata yitim Torah. That you set aside times for Torah learning, but specifically, if you want to be saved from the sin of Lashon Hara, you must learn the topics, the ideas, the hashkafa, and the halacha surrounding Lashon Hara. Rabbi Feldman says this is a profound gift. So Alyssa and Mr. Axelrod and the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course, have given us a very profound gift. And it should mamash be a zchus, the habatza that you are providing everybody. One person hold back one thing. That's unbelievable zchus. But that we go. So I hope that was chizik for everybody and very enlightening. I found it absolutely fascinating and very important. Okay? Okay. So And going back to Maseches Erechin, so we've been spending a few weeks trying to get through Maseches Erechin, but if you recall, we learned the Rambam to Hilchos Tzoraas, the end of the Rambam to Hilchos Tzoraas. We learned that two classes ago, because the footnote in the Ars Kol Gemara quoted it. We went to learn it inside. We learned about Miriam last week. I'm going back to the Maseches and Gemara and Erechin, okay? Tes Vav Amud Beis. So we are on 15b. Here we go. Amarish Lakish. I am not reviewing what we learned last time from the Gemara, because if anybody's interested, you could go back to the previous classes online. I would like to go forward. Reish Lakish teaches, Amarish Lakish, Kol HaMisaper Lashon Hara, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, ready, Magdil Avonos Ad L'Shamayim. Oy vavoy. The Tower of Babel, they thought they were going to reach Ad L'Shamayim. They could not reach Ad L'Shamayim. But you know who could reach Ad L'Shamayim? Me. You know how? Let's speak Lashon Hara. Call Mesaper Lashon Hara. Magdil Avonos Ad L'Shamayim. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara, his sins are so great in all the heavens. Shanemar, as the Pasuk says, Shatu B'Shamayim Pihem U'Lashonam Tihalach Ba'aretz. They set their mouths in all the heavens. Their tongue struts on earth. That's a Pasuk from Tehillim. Art scroll footnote says, because their tongue is strutting on earth, speaking Lashon Hara above their fellow, their mouth is set to the heavens, meaning their sins reach that far. This reminded me, by the way, of Rashi to this past week's Parsha. Rashi in Parsha Shlach tells us about the Meraglim. I'm sure you remember that their tongues reached out to their navel and the worms came out of their tongues. I'm sure that you're aware of that Rashi. It's quite famous. So once again, we see that their tongues strut on the earth, Hashem will pay us back, and their sins reach to the heaven, and in that case, worms, maggots, whatever it exactly was, come out of their tongues, their navel, showing exactly how much the Ribbono Shel Olam does not value sins of slanderous speech. The article footnote says, the straightforward meaning of this statement is that a person who is accustomed to speak Lashon Hara becomes guilty of an incredibly large number of sins. And now, the article footnote quotes the Chofetz Chaim, Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. So we like to quote from Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, Halacha Adei. We're quoting from the art school book usually, but now I'm quoting from Maseches Erechin 15b, footnote 27, which quotes from Sefer Shmiras HaLashon itself. So here we go. Shmiras HaLashon presents the following calculations. Chafetz Chaim teaches, let's say a person speaks only 4 to 5 words of Lashon Hara daily. By the way, 4 to 5 words is almost like, think about that. You want someone for a barbecue? And you said, she's not such a great hostess. That's already 6 words. That's assuming the other person doesn't even reply. And you don't even elaborate. And it's the only negative thing you said the whole entire day. Now, generally, someone's going to reply to your statement. And you're going to say something else to explain further why she's not such a great hostess. And chances are, it's likely not the only thing you said all day. So the Chafetz Chaim, Zuchzo Yagin Aleinu, Mamish, says, let's say in Sefer Shmiras HaLashon 2:16, you only speak 4 to 5 words of Lashon Hara a day. At the end of the week, that's approximately 30 words. At the end of the year, you're up to 1,500 words. Let's stipulate further that on every occasion, he's guilty of transgressing only one negative commandment, only one law. Even though there are 31 different commandments, the Chafetz Chaim teaches in the Psicha to Sefer Shmiras HaLashon that you could be violating. So listen to this. With every word of Lashon Hara, I'm potentially violating 31. So this is, it's like, but don't forget Rabbi Daniel Feldman. We can't give up. We can see the infinite potential in ourselves by seeing the infinite potential in others. So this shouldn't make us afraid, shouldn't make us feel hopeless. We just have to learn it. The profound gift is the ability to learn. Let us stipulate, says the Chafetz Chaim, that on every occasion you're guilty of transgressing only one negative commandment, even though there are up to 31 lavin that you could be violating. Now, excuse me. Just as every word uttered in holy pursuits, such as Torah study, is a distinct mitzvah, so too, every word of forbidden speech is a distinct transgression. Thus, this person has 1,500 sins of Lashon Hara over a year. By the way, this is the person who only spoke 4 to 5 words a day. And he was only over one lav. At the end of the year, this person is 1,500. I don't know what to say. I'm just going to read it. I've lashon and hara over a year and over a lifetime, 80,000 or more. This in turn is a conservative estimate for an average person. I just have to get a tissue. 1 second. Sorry, I'm back. I'm right here. This is a conservative estimate for the average person. For those who speak hundreds of words of Lashon Hara daily and who violate several positive and negative commandments at the same time, the lifetime tally is in the millions. Furthermore, Sefer Chovos HaLevavos states, when one speaks Lashon Hara about another person, ready? If I speak Lashon Hara about someone else, he assumes some of that person's sins, and that person some of the speaker's merit. So in other words, when I speak Lashon Hara about someone else, I get that person's sins, and they get my schosser. Thus, by speaking repeatedly about different people in his lifetime, he will have a significant amount of sins besides what I perform myself. So it's bad enough that in the most conservative estimate, I have 1,500 sins of Lashon Hara over a year. That's the most conservative estimate. That's only, says the Chafetz Chaim, and Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, if I speak 4 to 5 words a day, and I'm only over on one de'oraisa. Most conservative estimate. But it doesn't stop there, because for every 4 to 5 words I speak about someone else, I, says the Chovos HaLevavos, get their averus and they get my mitzvah. So now I have to add that to the tally of my averus. You're going to go up to Shemayim, they're going to be playing back a recording. I'm going to see averus that I didn't even do. I'm going to say, who did that? They're going to say, you know who did that? The person about whom he spoke Lashon Hara. Shmiras HaLashon, the Chavetz Chaim, goes on to explain. Magdil Avonos Ad LaShemayim, he piles up his sins to the heavens. The Zohar, okay, so Shmiras HaLashon, the Chavetz Chaim quotes the Zohar, who explains, a person's actions in this world precipitate corresponding heavenly repercussions. Thus, if a person performs kindness below, then in that merit, a spirit of heavenly kindness prevails that day. The Zohar states further, as explained by Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, that when one speaks negatively about someone, it triggers the dreaded prosecutor in heaven to speak in condemnation of the Jewish people's failing. So when I speak negatively, so now the prosecutor comes before the Ribbono Shel Olam, he speaks of our failings and brings in its wake the harsh punishments that we deserve according to strict application of justice, Midas Hadin. God's hand is forced, as it were, to afflict his beloved children. Thus, an individual's Lashon Hara reaches until the heavens. So the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon explains, what does it mean, Magdil Avonos Ad LaShemayim? We just read in the Gemara that Reish Lakish says, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, anyone knows a Mesaper Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Ad LaShemayim. His sins reach to the heaven, quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, Shatu B'Shemayim Piyam U'Lashonim Tehalech Ba'aretz, they set their mouth into the heavens, their tongues trod on earth. We quoted Rashi, who talks about the Meragim with their tongues reaching down to their navel. But this footnote ends by quoting the Chavetz Chaim, Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, who explains this in an esoteric, Kabbalistic way. What does it mean? Anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Ad LaShamayim, our sins go up to the heavens. The Sefer Shmiras HaLashon of the Chavetz Chaim quotes the Zohar, who explains, B'midish Adam Modeid Modedin Lo, the way in which we behave down here is how the heavenly attribute behaves with us. So when we do kindness and speak kindly to others and for others, then Hashem does kindly with the world. But, Rahman al-Latsan, when we act with others in a negative way, so the prosecutor goes before Hashem, the prosecutor says, look, they're failing, they're sinful, they're bad. Hashem is forced, so to speak, to bring gezeros upon us, act with strict midas Hadin. This means Magdil Avonos Ad LaShamayim. Our sins have tremendous ramifications in the heavens. That is what it means, says the Chafetz Chaim, that an individual's Lashon Hara reaches into the heavens. And I think today, when we look at the world, and when we look at the news in the world, whew, and we see the goings on in the world today, from the COVID pandemic to everything else, time of the height of the COVID pandemic, I, based on the Pesach of Meir Banim, Rav Herschel Schechter had Paschal that everyone should be saying Avinu Malkeinu. We know that the Agudah had their Yom Tfilas, their Yom, remember we had the day of fasting, I remember which day it exactly was. It was a time of gzeira. God forbid we should say we're still in that time, chalila v'chas. But it's not the most tranquil or peaceful or safe times. Seems to be, chalila v'chas, so they knew there are gzeiros. And no one should think, not one individual, no one should think that their actions do not have the power until the heavens. This mamar, this piece in the Gemara is on Lashon Yachid. Kol ha-misaper Lashon Hara magde avonos ad Hashemayim. One person can change the decree in Shemayim for both ways. One person's actions. And we need to strengthen ourselves with this profound gift that we've been given, to paraphrase Rabbi Feldman, to try and change the Gezerah. Because it's a harsh time. It's a lot of unknown. And it's a time for a lot of introspection. Not a time to give up. Not a time to be despondent. Time to realize the infinite potential in others while we realize the infinite potential in ourselves. One more teaching from the Gemara before we finish, okay? So that was extensive quoting from Sefer Shmir Salashon. I'm sorry. Of the Chofetz Chaim himself. The Gemara continues then. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva. Rav Chista said in the name of Mar Ukva, Kol ha-masaper Lashon Hara, Ra'ui liskolo ba'evin. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara, it is worthy to stone him. The article translation of that is, whoever speaks Lashon Hara deserves to be pelted with stones. Kesiv hacha, because it is written here, also atzmis, whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, I will cut him down. Okay? Atzmit, atzmis. And it says there in Eicha, Tzamsu babar chaya vayadu evem bi. They cut off tzamsu. They cut off my life in a pit. They threw stones at me. So both of these psukim have this word atzmis, to cut down. He who slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will cut down. They cut me off, my life in a pit. They threw stones at me. So the Gemara learns out from here that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, it is worthy to stone him, because atzmis is used in the context of speaking Lashon Hara, and tzamtu is used in the context of stoning. So the Chazal come along. Rav Chista says, in the name of Mar Ukva, this teaches you that whoever speaks Lashon Hara is worthy to be pelted with stones. I will end with the footnote in the Ar Scroll Gemara. A Baal Lashon Hara deserves to be pelted with stones. It's mida k'nega mida, for his sins. How? Because the Maharsha explains that conceptually speaking Lashon Hara is like throwing stones at someone from afar with intent to harm. So when you're speaking Lashon Hara, we have to keep in mind, it's like stoning someone. Skia. The speaker of Lashon Hara is worse than the Evin Dumam, the mute stone. How is the speaker of Lashon Hara actually worse than a mute stone? Because he was given the power of speech. The stone was not, but we use our speech for a sinful purpose. So the Gemara says here that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara is worthy to be stoned, because it's Mida Kanega Mida. The Hashem is a principle. That's how he pays us back, for good or for not good, Chas V'Shalom. He pays us back Mida Kanega Mida. So if I throw stones at somebody else with my words that are like weapons, we saw Rabbi Feldman, he says that words are like weapons, so then I deserve to be stoned. But it's not, the Gemara here is not meaning to terrify us, Chas V'Shalom, but rather to bring us to the awareness of the gravity of the sins of Lashon Hara, and the studying of these topics in our time, says Rabbi Daniel Feldman, is a profound gift, which will help elevate us all as we change our mind, from particularly opportune as we move into the month of Tammuz and the sin of the spies, which was the sin of Lashon Hara. Their tongues came out and worms crawled out, and they rejected the land, so the land rejected them. Rachman al Son, we have to remember today that with our negative words, we arouse the prosecutor in Shamayim, who forces Kaviyach the Ribon Sholom to meet out Xerus against us. But the Hafech is also true. If we remember that with every positive word we arouse the defense attorney, then perhaps, says Rabbi Feldman, we will remember that we are of boundless potential, but most important is to change our mind frame. So I can have to say, I'm not going to do it anymore. That won't help. So by learning these inyanim, we can change our mind frame about others, which will, be'ezras Hashem, change our speech for the positive. Halavai, we should be zocher. It shouldn't be a tamas and av avavelus, but rather of great Simcha, miyagon, la simcha, umeevel, yom tov. I thank you all for learning with me. We thank Alyssa and her husband, Mr. Axelrod. I thank you all for joining in. The neshama av, tzvi gershom, ben yol v'chana, lav v'sham, should have a continuous aliyah, and the profound gift of this class, of this studying of these ideas, should bring zchusim to ourselves and our families, and all of Knesset Yisrael. I wish you a wonderful day, and a chodesh tov, kol tov.